Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What is Moondog?
Moondog Makers and Bakers is not just a catering company. It's blending tradition with innovation and something familiar just done differently. To get a taste of what they're truly all about, you can order some awesome merch, crafted spice blends, or request catering for your very own event. MoondogMakersandBakers.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yes, indeed. My grin is wide today. Welcome in. The weather's nice. I only have on one pair of socks and two layers of clothes instead of four. The tomatoes are growing and the Brussels sprouts are Brussels sprouting. Now, those are two things that don't happen at the same time in most people's gardens. But here in the Deep South, we have some windows of opportunity, and I'm happy to be here to talk with you about them. My name's Nellie Neal. I'm known as the Garden Mama, and this is a great weekend for folks driving through the state. You may be going home to mamas. You may be going to see, you know, your son and all the grandchildren or whoever you're, whatever you're up to. You may not have heard this voice before. You may not have heard that intro before. You may not have ever even tuned into this. But we caught your attention, and I thank you very, very much for sticking around for a while this morning, because we got a lot to do. This is always a fun pedal-to-the-metal springtime garden show. So, phone calls, texts, and assorted other missives of information. I started to say missiles, but we don't have missiles. Missives of information float into here, and I'm more than happy to be sort of running herd on them. With the assistance, with actually, you know, the microphone doesn't turn on unless he gets here. Good morning, Lance.
I just got here. I mean, just rolled in, ready to go. No.
We lie on the radio a lot.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people traveling this too that may not be from the area. So
exactly.
Thank you for listening.
We have great major highways that take people lots of places in our listening area.
So if you're out there and statewide and you hear the Garden Mama, don't forget, when you get to where you're going, you can always go to supertalk.fm, catch the whole show. If you just get a piece, you like what you hear, come on back. You can always get us on the World Wide Web intranet.
That's right.
Globally.
That's right.
So
that's
we're
right.
there.
Put and us in your pocket.
That's right. So thank y'all for tuning in. And also, as always, our devoted and amazing listener group.
Our family. We are absolutely without
Happy
parallel.
Easter to
I'm
all
telling
y'all.
You, yeah. everybody. We are counting on Trey. We always count on Trey to start us off today with, it's almost by 87 new plants season. And yes, it is exactly that. Trey, yesterday afternoon, I was looking at the empty containers that I have available to me to plant something in. Not just for the squash off, but some flowers too. By the way, did you take the squash plants out your truck, Lance? I hope you did.
Mine have already made squash, so way ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe that.
Doubled or since.
Isn't that something? They really are growing fast. I planted two of them, and now I got to go plant about four more. But the thing is, we're bad at this, y'all. That's why we do this, because we want to try and get better. And frankly, I used to be a squash grower. Haven't been able to do that in a while, so I'm trying once again. Paula in Dentville, good morning. Good morning. This is really fun stuff to hear from y'all, and I trust that you will burn up the text line as you usually do, as well as the phone lines. We're just going to be calling them the Garden Mama phone line and the Garden Mama text line here for a couple hours on Saturday morning. 888-808-8637. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. 601-879-4395. It is hard for me to imagine that this is already the end of March, but I'm so glad it's the end of March. I'm tired of hearing the heat come on at 3:30 in the morning at my house. It's nice out there. Beautiful moon this morning, by the way.
The moon's been great. You can sit outside in the pitch dark.
Plenty.
Hawk's been fetching like a fool the last few nights. You don't have to cut the lights on. Just throw whatever out there. And
he's ready.
And he's ready. He's been working on his pointing a lot. I'm so impressed with him. Like the last week, he's just turned into this he's slinking around and pointing at everything.
He's moving into adolescence now.
That, and you have everything in the world's flying.
What I was going to say, and there's plenty to chase.
Golly, so. I mean, the carpenter bees and the flies are out, and he's a shadow-loving dude. It's kept him away from eating up stuff that is sprouting and growing,
thank goodness.
But there's not much left in the backyard to work on.
Well, he did a pretty good job of that.
The front yard looks amazing. I wanted to say the roses, wow.
Everything's pretty right
everything,
now.
Everything. The wisteria really is starting to go away, but the floral and aromatic nature of it this season was absolutely outrageous.
Well, and I like the beans. I like the seed pods that form afterwards.
But there's something about those dang flowers that just hang.
Oh, they're just beautiful.
Like, I don't know, what would be a great word to use to describe the way those flowers just kind of undulate or hang like that?
Well, yeah, we need to get romantic on that one. We'll think about the botanic names for it are not so great.
Yeah, why? And my
it's
question,
a botanical.
You don't see many, Febreze and all these things. You don't see wisteria as a flavor.
That's probably too difficult to produce.
Okay, that was going to be my question because the smell is hardly second to none.
No,
gardenia is really good. But
it's wonderful. But when you get in the essential oil world, wisteria is one of the more prized ones.
Okay.
I have to tell you, the banana shrub at my house is in full tilt bloom, and the warmer it gets, of course, the more the flowers smell. So this afternoon, it'll be like having a banana split in my front yard. It's a really wonderful plant, but I have to say, 3 years ago it was a tree, and then it got zapped. Too much cold weather, too long of a patch of cold weather, and then it has come back. So it's basically a big lollipop full of beautiful banana flowers. It's a Magnolia fuscata or Michelia figo, depending on what reference you're looking in, because it did change names over time there. And that's one of the best plants, though, for zone 8, zone 9. And if I was in 7B, I'd have one in a container that I would probably have to cover up a little bit more often. But it's a beautiful plant, and one that it will absolutely knock your socks off. My postal carriers are always surprised because it's right by the mailbox. Every now and then you look out and they're like, what is that? Anyway, that's what we gardeners do, isn't it? I have to say that we are more than lucky to be here. We are, in fact, to have a place to grow plants, to have the opportunity to even think about it. And oh my goodness, now we've got supertalk.tv going now. And I brought this because I borrowed it from somebody, and it is the natural colors of eggs that you can dye with natural things like beets. And perhaps my most interesting one is that you can actually use beets to get pink and hibiscus to get a very dark purple, but you can use the two together and get something that's this absolutely crazy mauve color. It's really, really pretty. If you want to send us pictures of your Easter eggs, we would love to share those with everybody.
I was reading one of the not trivia things, but facts, and just looking at how people back in the ancient days would have colored the eggs using wax, almost like a batik form.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, very interesting.
There's still, in fact, I have a friend who does this. There's a wax process that allows you to put really intricate designs on it, and I'm not sure if it's Ukrainian, but it's from that part
Eastern
of the world.
Eastern European.
And there's they're like Fabergé eggs, except they're real.
Oh, it's
real.
Amazing. Right. Yeah,
they're the real thing. It's
after I got off air, I kind of went and looked around. I was kind of blown away
It's amazing.
How precise you can get with that.
Such an art form.
It is.
It really is a beautiful, beautiful art form. And this is, hey, Rhett in Ridgeland. That's really a good one. Are the black scars on my young banana plants going to remain for the season? If this is the tips of things that froze back, they'll probably just fall off. If it's something at the base of the plant, you may have to remove it if you want to. But there are also indicators. Sometimes there'll be black streaks going down the stalk, and usually that stays, but it's not a problem. So send me a picture, Rhett, and here's the number for that. 601, because you're on the text line, 879-4395. Send me a picture, and I'll give you a better opinion. Let's see.
I love the largest breed of rabbit. That thing's as big as a border collie. Man, that would scare me. Seeing
that
thing? Goodness gracious.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, those are the things that are disconcerting. It's like when you walk into someone's house and they say, you start to sit down in the chair and they say, oh, wait, be careful. And that's because the cat is as big as the chair seat, you know, of this overstuffed chair. You don't realize you're about to sit on a cat.
A man
coon. Those things, it was a 35-pound cat.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't those pretty tulips?
Oh, beautiful.
Those are very sentimental tulips. And I won't even give away the story.
No, they're.
But
they know. One of them is. It's so heavy. It's pulling itself.
That's
over.
That's right. It's a lovely arrangement in a car, moving at top speed.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure. I was like, I don't know that area in your yard.
Yes. No.
It's not your yard. It's the car.
It's not my car either. Okay. Let's see. Paula says, I want to plant morning glories? Can I plant them in pots instead of the ground? Well, sure. Just be aware that they are going to have something to climb on. The only time I've grown morning glories in containers that I can remember right this minute was on the edge. It was in an actual window box, and I grew them. They were outside the window of the house, and I grew them, and they spread down. But I actually should have put the strings up on the roof because they got so long that they ended up getting up in the tree next to the house. But yes, you can do that. And that whether it's a container like a planter like that or whether it's just a big pot, you can certainly do that. I'm sorry you hurt your finger. This is terrible. Wildflower seeds planting, that's not a problem. Depending on what they are, they may or may not come up right away. But in Dentville, I think you're fine to do that within the next
I want to see a new picture from Paula from Dentville on the peace lilies from March 9th.
I know.
That she gave a great dousing of rain to and was repotting.
You know they're beautiful by now.
Yeah.
You know they're beautiful. I was describing the two in my house as the library lions because they've gotten so big, and now the one is caught up with the other, and they're the same size. Well, now they take up half the room. So it's like having sculptures out there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They're taking up my space. I got to get in there with my elbows and move things around. But that's what really we hope for. Peace lilies are one of those things that people overwater probably more than anything else. Now this is in fact true. That more people overwater container plants than ever take them down with bugs or any of those other sorts of problems. So be aware of that. But it's also true that they can't dry out. You can't just leave them dry out, and you can't leave them in the soil that they come in usually, because that's greenhouse soil. We love when plants are raised in greenhouses for us, but they're often grown in a very light soil so that they can be watered twice a day and therefore pushed to grow quickly and give us a plant at a price that we can afford, because bench time in the greenhouse is expensive. So when we want to have that beautiful plant, we got to realize it's been grown quickly. So that means for you, you're not going to continue to do that, but you are going to have to give it some soil that is able to take a little bit more time between waterings because you don't have the conditions that they had in that greenhouse. Okay, so that's really the main thing. Yes, coming up on the supertalk.tv, there's also the picture of the banana shrub in front of my house. I don't know if I sent the close-up or not, but if y'all have never seen it, it's a little tiny flower. Not tiny. It's about an inch long, and it has maroon on the edges of yellow petals that are absolutely banana-crazy smell. These were the tree itself is not uncommon, but it's not a real popular plant, and I first encountered it on the campus at LSU because my mother had told me about the tree, and I later went to see it. She said that in the certain length of time, now you understand my mother was almost 40 when I was born, and I'm a whole lot older than that now, so this is a long time ago that she was at LSU, and they would take the flowers and put them into their blouse, put them into their décolletage because they smelled so good, and I don't recommend doing that. It'll probably make you itch, but it's one of those things that people have always put plants to work and been real busy, you know, keeping everything smelling nice. That's why we invented sachets that go into your drawers to keep things fresh. And it's not unusual. We do it now. Now we do it with things that are a little bit less, perhaps, maybe just a little bit less in the natural category sometimes. Well, that looks pretty cool, though, Rhett. I have to say, we will get to see the plant later. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. These are the batik types. Andrea sent from from her place at Madison. These are African art eggs, and they are just beautiful. I love, love, love that the batik and the elephant. That's really precious, precious. The giraffes, of course, are always my favorites. Delightful. Really fun stuff. And yes, there they are. They have, the peace lilies at Paula's have doubled in size. That's wonderful. Congratulations. She says she's going to repot them today, separating and going for four containers. Yes, that's wonderful. And she's right. She says she waters when she sees the slightest wilt. And you can feel them, you know, after a while. They don't actually wilt because that's too long to wait. But they just begin to drop just a little tiny bit, and then you get to do that. Jeb's in DeKalb. Do you grow peace lilies, Jeb?
Yes, some of my family does. They sure do. But I was just calling to ask you, you said you can't give them too much water or something.
Yeah, you don't want to overwater them.
Okay, you don't want to overwater them.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay, like, if they're outside, to move them to a different spot outside or not do that right
now? No, the peace lilies are a tropical plant. They grow in a container, and they require a shady site outside if you want to put them outdoors, maybe the back of a porch or something like that, and the rest of the time they grow indoors. Mine are indoors except for maybe a week outside in the shade when I let them have a little rain or something to wash their leaves. But it's a tropical plant. It's not something that you want to be doing anything except repotting.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, because I just heard you say you had a bunch of them in your house and
yep.
You can't get to them, though.
Yep, they're big.
Happy Easter to y'all.
Take care of yourself. Happy Easter. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye now. That's great. Peace lilies are spathiphyllum, if you know the name of it or if you see that label somewhere. They are, in fact, really, really lovely plants. Usually people get them as a gift, and oftentimes it's not at a happy time. So it may be a funeral, or it may be someone's illness, or it may just be that you need a plant for a dark spot in your house, and you go and see it, and you think that would be a nice one. And they are lilies. They have beautiful flowers, classic spathe flowers, just beautiful things, and really nice plants. Paula says she's going to repot them today, and I can see that. You're definitely going to get four out of that, no problem. I have been very happy to tell you that I found another plant in my collection that I forgot I had because it hadn't bloomed in a while. And she put on some flowers, and it's pretty nice stuff. I like plants that change color, but I also like this quote from Kurt Vonnegut. Life is a garden, not a road. We enter and exit through the same gate. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
It's prom season. From promposals to finding the perfect dress and choosing a stylish tux, teens all across our state are making big plans. That's why the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services and the Mississippi Highway Patrol are reminding students to have a safe and memorable prom by making smart choices behind the wheel. Don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, and do buckle up. Your school, family, and friends want you to please return on Monday in the same condition you left. Your choices today impact your tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Jade.
Garden Mama here for Lakeland Yard and Garden, asking you, why do we garden anyway? Are you looking for a beautiful retreat where you can get away from it all? Lakeland Yard and Garden is ready to help you with your garden paradise. In addition to being a complete nursery, greenhouse, and garden shop, Lakeland offers patio furnishings including comfortable couches, chairs, tables, and much more. Let the professionals at Mississippi's largest garden center help create a paradise for you to get away from it all. So why do we garden? Because we love it and love the outdoors, and we do love getting away from it all right there in the backyard. Celebrating growing your way and serving all your garden needs since 1980. Listen to your mama now and call 601-939-7304. Visit online at lakelandyardandgarden.com and stop by Lakeland Drive at Airport Road.
Hey, I'm here with Alex Murray of Auto Innovation.
At Auto Innovation, we want to change your car buying experience. When you're in the market for a quality pre-owned vehicle, please come see us. We want to make friends, not just customers. All eligible vehicles are inspected by a Master Tech mechanic and come with a limited powertrain warranty on us. We are located on Highway 51 in Ridgeland. Come by and see us or check out our inventory online at autoinnovation.net. Let us change your car buying experience.
Auto Innovation, Highway 51 in Ridgeland.
It's game. Suffer from allergies, sinus or respiratory problems, or just want to improve the quality of air you breathe in your home or business? Pure Air Consultants can help. As your indoor environmental specialist, we clean air ducts, install UV lights, and service all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. We offer the most dependable Energy Star qualified systems in the industry. Call Pure Air Consultants today, 601-939-7420.
A proud provider of Rheem Home AC Systems. Are you feeling it? Rheem. The new degree of comfort.
Those are beautiful. Those gorgeous plants, gorgeous eggs. My goodness, y'all are terrific. Now, we are still on the subject of morning glories, I understand.
Robert from Ripley, I asked him if he wanted to hold or call back, and he had some things to do. So he said, "Will you ask this for me?" He goes, "Look, if I got a morning glory in a container and I leave it outside and it does its thing and starts dropping seeds and stuff, will it actually turn into kind of a weed and become a nuisance, or will it be okay in the container there and not cause any problems?"
Well, if you let it seed out and it comes up where you don't want it to come up, that's a weed by definition. But it's going to be a long time between the seed and the next round of seeds. So you can certainly let it grow for a long time. And then when you realize the flowers are finished and it might decide to set seed, then go ahead and cut off the vines or take the container someplace else. Yes, if you left it on, for example, you will see this happen more often actually with cypress vines. Somebody will have cypress vine in a container on the top of a post because it's real fine textured, has little bitty red flowers, and it brings hummingbirds from all over the place. So you put it where you can see them and see it. It's lovely. Well, then the next year you've got cypress vine coming up in the entire bed and across the street. I mean, it's just one of those things. Morning glory will reseed fairly aggressively. That's why tie vine and those versions of ipomea are a problem in cultivated fields, because they will proliferate. So, yeah, if you just left it there, it would come up probably someplace you didn't want it. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to enjoy them, and then I'm just going to cut them off or take the pot and put it into my compost. Maybe it will bloom there, maybe not. Does that help? All right, now, whatever you're doing, I hope that you will be marking your calendar and have already got a plan made for next week, April the 6th. Wowie zowie, I can't believe it's here already, and I'm happy about that. My very favorite peach, that's Mark Patrick. He and I are going to make a couple of stops to yak it up next week with you about plants. Right after the show here, we will be heading out to Pearl to Doris Berry Farmers Market. Such a cool place. Go out there right now, or you can send me an email to register if you're going to join us there. They're going to give away this magnificent, spectacular It can even feed lamps, basket full of food. It's a really beautiful assortment. And we've got all kind of other things going on. But go out and register for that, and then we will be there to talk with you. I'm also going to be with Mark right after that. We're going to head to Carthage, to Floydeen's on Highway 35. Now, remember, that's the same day as the Vaden to Walnut Grove Highway 35 sale. So you can go from any time between 9 and 4 to the pop-up plant sale at Floydeen's Farm. It's going to be some fun things going on there. I've told you about before. I've told you about my fabulous soap that I just love. It. I didn't make it. Angela makes it. She's Angela Coggins of Gal and Goat. And her soap will be there. By all means, appreciate it, enjoy it. Get your mama some for Mother's Day because it's a great product. And Nate Versanke is going to be there. I hope I pronounced his name right. From Mississippi Woodland Nursery. He's going to talk about native plants, and he'll be happy to help you figure out what native plants can work in your landscape. Then I'll be there from 1 to 3 with Mark, and we will talk about container gardening and give away T-shirts and give away seed packs and one thing and another. So next Saturday, 10:30 to noon at Doris Berry in Pearl, 1 to 3 at Floydeen's Farm in Carthage. Okay? Now, that all being said, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. I am so happy that my bay tree has survived. I wasn't sure if it would. Now, here's why. It got, just like my banana tree got frozen, it got frozen 2 years ago. Last year, what had been a 5-foot-tall, beautiful tree in a container didn't look so good. But now it has managed to regrow. I gave it a little help. I did a little pruning, took care of it, fertilized it, put in a little fresh soil here and there. But along the way, I've encouraged it to the point where now it has many growing stems, and it is a nice, small shrub. It's not going to be a tree again, but it's a nice, small shrub. And I like it very, very much. So I'm happy to tell you that has worked. And yes, I'm back in the business of picking leaves for cooking and whatnot. I have one kind of basil growing right now. I'm trying to decide how many more I need. And you probably want to know that too, because we all have to decide which flavors of basil it is that we want to use. I was so glad to see someone, I watch too many people cook on television, but I watched somebody who took basil stems to enhance something that was supposed to taste like licorice, and because we know that they do, and particularly older pesto basil gets a real licorice-y quality to it that some people don't even like. But that's really nice. Oh, pretty. That's really nice. I'm looking at really, really lovely tomato seedlings. And yes, there's small gnats around it. I can't water from the bottom. There's no holes in the container, which is why you're seeing the gnats, because it's staying too damp. That it seems to have helped. Sprayed them with neem oil. That does help. Yes, repot them. She asks, should I repot them in different soil? Yes. The curling is not bad. It's just symptomatic that things are really have been too wet. And you need to make sure that the container has drainage and that you, if you can possibly water from the bottom, sometimes that does help. You couldn't do that now because there's no drainage there. But the leaves will curl from staying too wet. The leaves will also curl if they're beginning to get a different set of diseases that we don't usually see in seedlings. We would see that leaf curl in a mature plant. But all I think you have right now is the situation where you really need to give yourselves the opportunity to be able to water from the bottom and to let them dry out in between waterings. That's really, really important. Such good stuff. I hope those butternut squash are doing well too. That was the conversation from last week. But believe it or not, your tomatoes don't look near as bad as some people's. So I get a lot of tomatoes in the mail, in the email this time of year, and some of them are kind of tough. But if you want to see what I'm talking about, we do have that one at supertalk.tv. The soil itself doesn't look too wet. I think this one's already been lifted out of the seedling tray, maybe. But in any case, that's what the issue is. It needs to dry out. Probably needs better air circulation. But you're doing good on light, and you're obviously doing very well on fertilizer, because both of those things are indicating that they're doing very well. What we usually see at this time of year are little skinny stems and very few leaves. So you've beaten that problem, and that's a wonderful thing. Do you like polite creatures? I'm a cartoon fan myself, and I have to admit that when one little bird extends a wing and says "after you," I'm tickled by that. Even when the angry beavers do it, I'm tickled by that because it's such a funny gesture to think about a cartoon character having nonverbal gestures. Okay, that's a great thing. Well, we didn't make this up. And for years, of course, we have always known that humans can do that kind of simple gesture, which is called deitic. It's not the sort of thing that where you're pointing at something for something else to look at it. It's a gesture that is an emotional one, or that is a nonverbal communication, as opposed to that one over there and pointing. Okay, so it's a more subtle, less obvious, and less didactic matter of getting into a space. So we got a bird. If you know about small bird species, then you probably know that we have so much fun with the various and sundry groups. In this particular group, there's 51 species of titmice, chickadees, and those that are just called tits. They are, in fact, a magnificent bunch of birds, and most of them are native to North America and even to Africa. But in this case, in Japan, there is a small bird named the Japanese tit because it is so rare for them to be there. Parus minor, it's in that same family, uses wing motions. We think about politeness being a quality of that culture in a sort of stereotypic sense. But at the same time, for a bird to do that is very unusual. They will indeed, when a mating pair arrives at the nest with food, all right, they'll wait outside on the perches. One then flutters the wings towards the other, indicating, go ahead, after you. Help yourself, you know, that kind of thing. And we have not seen this in birds. We have seen the more direct one where a crow will pick up a tool and hand it to another one. Okay, we've seen that. But we've not seen this kind of more elaborate gesticulating sort of thing. And now it's not just humans and great apes. It's wild birds, including our little friends, the Japanese tits. It's very cool. By the way, if you have a friend that's a birder, there's some beautiful, bone china, gorgeous coffee cups and mugs with just this group of birds that I guess you'd have to get 51 to get all the species. But wow, they're so pretty. You can think about that. How much gestures mean to communication, though, is really, really important. And I'm glad that we're paying more attention. You know me, I'm always telling you because it's true. We think we humans are the only ones that do, you name it, A, B, C, D. And then suddenly, if we pay attention long enough and have enough cameras in the wild, we get a chance to see other things. It's pretty cool. And yes, Bubba, we are, in fact, on live. See, here is question number 733 about blueberries, Lance. You know where I'm going with this. We're gonna find us a, these are beautiful. Look at that bee. Oh, that's gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So, so lovely. Jesse's in Raymond. Good morning, Jesse. Let's talk about your Philippine lilies.
Well, all right. You tell me about them. Everything I've read about Philippine lilies, this is Lilium formosa, mm-hmm. says that they're so easy to raise from seed. Well, they're not. Okay. And number one, if they're so easy to raise from seed, why doesn't anybody sell the bulbs, okay? I've tried them on top of the soil. I've tried them lightly covered. I've tried them, you know, buried about a quarter of an inch. And mine are just still sitting there, and they've mm-hmm. been there for at least 4 weeks right now.
Okay.
And not a thing. I got some a couple of years ago from a friend, and they were really fresh, and they came right up, but a squirrel got them. You know, that always seems to happen.
It does happen. That does happen. I lost mine. Something ate mine. So if you get any, we'll have to share. But I do think that it's bottom heat. And the reason I say this is because when I had them growing in a raised bed where the soil warms up faster, they were there for several years. And I don't know if it was the same plant or if it was its seedlings that had dropped there, because there were certainly more each year for a while. And I'm pretty sure.
Really, I've got them on a heating pad. I really do.
That should be working.
But are you saying you have Philippine lilies?
No, I don't have them now. Something ate them.
Oh.
I don't know if it was the squirrels, but it may have been. But they come up right when the seeds emerge right after the flowers have finished. It's about 6 weeks afterwards. It's the middle of the summer by that time. And so I've noticed that they came up under warmer conditions than I had tried to give them when I was raising seed. I've only raised them successfully from seed once, and I did that in the summertime because I literally just put the container into the bed next to the plants and let them fall in there, and they came up. I don't know why people say they're so. People actually do say, like in Houston, they'll get to be about 6 feet tall, and people hate them. Some people began planting them in front of air conditioner boxes, you know, the ones that sit outside, and they got too tall for that. So they ended up with too many lilies. Who can imagine too many lilies?
People, aren't the bulbs for sale?
I don't know. I guess we're not growing them. Fine. Yeah, we're probably not growing enough of them.
Well, I mean, commercial. I mean, in trade.
Right. No. Now the whole Easter lily business that used to be so big in the South, and it did include Formosa or Philippine lilies, there, and it also was tiger lilies that you used to be able to buy much more easily. There was a terrible set of diseases that ran through there, about the same level. About 20 years ago, the caladiums got wiped out. And this was about 50 years ago that the lilies got wiped out. So they no longer raise them like they did to produce bulbs for sale in the South that I know of. But I know that it was here once. And it's probably one of those things we ought to try to revive because they're beautiful lilies. For those of y'all who don't know this lily, it looks like an Easter lily on steroids. It's a white lily with a big, you know, lovely plant, just looks like that. But it's about 4 feet tall. Instead of being down at 18 or 24 inches. It's a big old thing and makes so many seed, Jesse. You're right. They should all come up.
Well, I'll keep trying, but okay. If you find any bulbs, shoot me a line.
I will.
You?
I sure will. I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks. Happy Easter.
Thank you so much.
Sure. It's a tough one now, but it's a good plant. And I know there are a lot of people that feel like it's weedy, because it does come up too many places and all that sort of stuff. But having lost my chives, I was happy to find them growing in my neighbor's yard. I know that they came from my seeds. Get over there before he mows the grass and dig those things up. All right, now, this is the Garden Mama Show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
If you have a vehicle, well,
I think we will have just about fulfilled the cadre of texters and emailers and whatnot who say, you know, you're not supposed to play music with words in it.
Oh, really? I need to get rid of about 700 songs that I've... No, but
that's an oldie. But yes, we are doing a little instrumental movement.
Oh, I love... You said to me, you know, you can take out, you know, one of the Grateful Deads if you want to. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's never going to happen. Come on, man.
Well, that particular, that whole business of the Picking On series.
Oh, yeah, I love
has,
that.
I have become a much larger fan of many heavy metal groups because they're picking, and the picking versions are so cool.
Well, and Jerry was, you know, he was a great blues picker. I mean, bluegrass picker to begin with.
Yeah,
he just didn't have the high enough voice to be a bluegrass singer. So he became a rock and roller. Thank goodness.
Something about that that San Jose background, you know.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of there's a whole lot of picking and grinning kind of music, obviously from that part of the world. And
I love the
he was one of them.
I love the Black Mountain Boys, which was the first band that he was part of. That was a bluegrass band, and that's some old stuff from the '60s, early '60s, maybe late '50s. But seeing Jerry with black hair. Like normal cut and a goatee and normal wear, like a white shirt.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he's been to a job and
it's like Willie Nelson in a suit.
Yeah.
When you see
without
those from
the ponytail
back then.
And the headband. Yeah. It's like, wow.
He looked like Dennis Hopper, but that's another conversation.
Exactly.
Fun stuff. Oh, dear. Brian and JS has a lot of stickers in the yard, way more than previous years. The grass is good, but if I fertilize the yard, can the grass take over the stickers, or will I just be feeding the stickers equally or more? This is such a difficult one. If you can possibly mow before you fertilize, and get the flowers off of the, I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, if you can get the flowers off, then they're done for the year, because this is an annual weed that, well, it's a perpetual problem, but it comes up, it goes into bloom and eventually makes that sticker when it sets its seeds. So if we can keep it from doing that, then you can fertilize the lawn and that will help it outgrow. The other thing you need to understand about sticker weed, anything that really gets established in lawn grass is able to grow in a condition that's not great for the lawn grass. And in the case of stickers, it usually means that your conditions are running a little bit on the drier side, which is not a surprise. Last summer was whatever, a million degrees Fahrenheit, and then the fall was incredible drought. So those two things together caused a whole lot more seed production. So yeah, I would say if you go ahead and get it mowed, so that those particular plants themselves are not going to set seed, then absolutely go ahead and fertilize. No problem at all. Sticker weed is one of those things that people who've never gone barefoot don't even know what we're talking about. You may hear a crunch under your shoe, but if you've gone barefoot and you walk on those things, you know right away that you wish that the lawn was not inhabited by those. Every plant has a reason, okay? Every plant has a purpose in the ecology of the world. But I don't want that in my lawn. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
I think the purpose of those is just to get in your foot. It's just one of those things where you
get stuck in your socks.
When God made that, he's like, I want you to kind of stay aware here. So I think that's their point. I'm not sure I figured out one yet.
That's
but
fun.
They are a nuisance and annoyance when you walk barefoot.
Some of these things are just beyond our capacity to know.
Watching the dogs run through all that and it doesn't bother them, that says a lot about the pads on their feet and all that. Because one step into one of those and I'm like, whoa!
we're going to all holler. Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to all holler. Ron's in Ocean Springs. Ah, Ocean Springs. Y'all know how I am about Ocean Springs. Cedar waxwings will perch on a branch with berries, and the first bird will pick a berry and pass it down till all of them have a berry. I love that. See, that's that behavior we're talking about. Not just one crow has the tools. They pass them around. And in this case, it is a generosity motion to pass a berry from one bird to the next. And it's also very, very amazing and wonderful and cool in this day and time that you're watching it. So let me ask you to shoot a video. Just put your camera up there, let it run for an hour, and send it to me. I'll let you know how to send it to me when you communicate and tell me you've got it. This is something that we can work with. This is something we can definitely appreciate.
Yeah, just save it in a format.
Save it.
It can be opened. Usually you can zip it.
Usually it can be
compress it and send it. And maybe we can figure out something
The future is bright. The future is bright. I do like cedar waxwings anyway. They're pretty.
And thanks for our amazing leadership giving us tools to continue trying to impress our listeners and viewers that this wonderful video stream. And thank you guys for being loyal.
This one's known as a long and drawn out tease of what's coming. We can't tell you yet, but we're going to tell you. Just stick with us.
They're always giving us opportunities to be creative, and thank you.
And we are putting to work. Brenda says, have you ever had any experience with one of these plant identifier apps? I know you probably know
all this
stuff, but I have problems knowing what I've got and how to take care of it. I'll tell you what the beauty of apps in terms of plant ID is. You know where to look it up. You don't have to hold it in your head. It's like the Dewey Decimal System in the library. If you had to remember which shelf all those books were on, you wouldn't ever get out of the first shelf. But if you can get an app that will show you your plants, or in some cases, they'll give you a place to put your plants. And that helps you with information about how to grow them and what to do when something happens and all that sort of stuff. I don't know the one you're looking at, but I worked on one for several years, and it is one of those things that is a really, really good feature if it has the features, good app if it has the features you want. If it can identify from a photo, and if you find those to be reliable, some of them are not. But if you find the ones that are reliable, that's helpful.
Yeah, I've been in the ones that are all over the place. So you're like five options.
Yeah, they tell you everything's a lily. No, it's not. But anyway, there's also the other piece of it is that the ones that can allow you, the ones that give you the opportunity to create your own file so that you have your own IDs there, and then you can go to their stuff and get information about how to take care of the plant. That's great. And it's, I can't tell you what they cost. I don't even know what the one I worked on costs anymore. But it is something where you can put that stuff to good use if you find their information to be trustworthy. That's my problem with any of the IDs is that they shoot the picture and then, Google sifts through things and tries to find. Well, that may not be that butterfly. you have to go ahead and get be a journalist and get your second or third source. Thank you, Kevin. That's very sweet of you. I like to remind you of your mama who loved plants. Thank you very much. And guess what? She would want you to keep loving them too. So we're all in here. We're all here together. Thank you. Sticker weed, oh yeah, oh my goodness. Let's see. I have an herb garden, was thinking of sowing hyssop seeds. Will they thrive in zone 8? Yes, I believe that they will, especially if you plant them now. You probably will see some, I'm thinking maybe 4 months. It may not be that long to flower. I'm not sure. If you have a favorite soil to use when repotting tomato seedlings, the soil I'm going to use is one that is more than, if you're going to grow them in that soil, I'm going to get one that is a good soil, but also has been cut by your own efforts about halfway with a soil conditioner or sand or perlite or something to be sure that they drain well. And if you're going to transplant them again after that, it's not quite as important. But what we're looking for in tomato soil all the way through is soil that drains, soil that can dry out a little bit, and soil that has a pH of about neutral. That is to say, not like azaleas and real acid, but it doesn't have to be like asparagus and be real alkaline. It needs to be kind of in the middle, okay? There's a lot to be doing at this time of year and a whole lot to talk about. I appreciate y'all being along. We got a ways to go. Don't go anywhere. Well, you can go get a cup of coffee and you can call Aunt Ma and tell her to turn on the radio. This is the Garden Mama Show.
A case is so pure. The morning dew, the rail gon' love this Friday too. For eyes they talk and say, "Come on, what killed me, baby?"
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
It's prom season. From promposals to finding the perfect dress and choosing a stylish tux, teens all across our state are making big plans. That's why the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services and the Mississippi Highway Patrol are reminding students to have a safe and memorable prom by making smart choices behind the wheel. Don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, and do buckle up. Your school, family, and friends want you to please return on Monday in the same condition you left. Your choices today impact your tomorrow.
Hi, this is Scott Trout.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome in. Oh my goodness. It's National Pencil Day. For those of you who don't use pencils anymore, let me encourage you to at least today write something with a pencil. Why not, huh? Now, why do we use pencils? Why do we not use pencils? Well, pencils are generally thought of as first draft. In other words, you're going to write it down, and you might go back and erase things and change them and whatnot. And we tend to do that sort of work on a keyboard. It's where it's a whole lot easier to just hit the back button. But I'm telling you, once you have written things in pencil and gone back and looked at them, even if it's just to put lines through them and write something else, or if it's to erase them, you go back and see where your previous thoughts were. And it can be a very interesting and reflective experience. If you're trying to figure something out, take a pencil to paper and try and figure it out. It's also very true that a different piece of information comes to you in the way of putting it in, put the pencil in your hand, write it on the paper, and it goes into your brain in a different way than it does from a keyboard. One of the first pieces of information that I was ever able to absorb, I had been a writer my whole life, I wrote stuff, but in terms of being a writer as a profession, one of the best things that I was ever taught was to do different formats. Type it, sure. Print it out. Look at it in print. Look at it on the screen. And then if you have an idea, write it down in pencil so you can work with it before you ever get it into the text. It's a really good way to make sure that your ideas are not only flowing, but that they are the best of your ideas. Very few people can publish a first draft. I can think of a couple, but it would be a derogatory comment if I made it, so I won't do that. This is indeed a beautiful day to be a gardener. A couple of great questions on the text line already this hour. Rob and Amory wants to know if there is a lemon or lime tree to be grown in North Mississippi, in Amory, where he is. I have to tell you, you're going to need to grow a dwarf, and you're going to need to grow it in a container. But yes, it can be very productive. If you have a sunny window in your house, if you have a greenhouse, your problem is solved, of course, for the wintertime. But even just a sunny window inside your house is plenty for, in this case, my choice is going to be the dwarf limes. You can get probably 20 limes off of a plant that is no bigger than 18 inches or 2 feet tall in a container that's about 10 inches across, you know, in your house. That's not a problem. They grow quickly. They're fun to have. And yeah, you can do it with dwarf lemons, but they're always going to be a bigger plant. Dwarf lime plants are much more of a much better companion inside your house, I think. So that's what I would do. And let's see. Oh, Jeremy, yes, you have asparagus. Congratulations. See, that's why I tell you to wait for stuff to come up and look at it before you just start yanking things out the ground. The way to develop that into a patch of asparagus, of course, is going to be to go get you some more roots, do some digging, do some, working around in that bed. You don't want to disturb the ones that are already there, but you want to make room for some more because you do need a fairly large number, say a dozen clumps of asparagus to really make a good show. And yes, it will take a few years, but you're on your way. You've got the beginning. So why not? All righty, let's see. These are shrubs that were planted last spring. Okay, I'm looking in here. This is in Clinton. And they made it through the drought, started losing leaves over the fall and winter. New growth is only on the main stem. I would say these are not going to bloom or put on new growth until, yes, you plant them. I wouldn't cut them all the way back to the ground, but I would cut a few inches off of each one. These look to be about 2 feet, 2.5 feet tall, so I would probably cut off maybe 6 inches at the most. Fertilize them. Keep a soaker hose under there so that you can water if it's not, if it happens to be a dry season, and see what happens. Because they're not in your front yard, I'm going to say leave them, and we'll see if they can perk up. If they don't, you can certainly replace them next fall. But I'm not ready to give up on these yet. They're young, first of all, and second of all, they do have a good exposure and a good opportunity to grow if you will baby them just a little bit. Prune off about a quarter of their size, give them some fertilizer and a soaker hose, and I think you'll get as much out of them as you possibly can. So that's great. Okay. Y'all have to tell me what that one is. All right. How fun. I did not know this. I know there's so many things. The words that we use are not always the words that are the most descriptive for something. There are sediment-eating organisms. You might have this. You might have not this particular one, but you may have seen, for example, the tiny fish that basically never get off of the edge of your aquarium or off the rocks or off the glass because they're cleaning all the time. And in the same case, the sediment-eating organisms in the ocean, which are basically vacuum cleaners, are known as sea cucumbers. They are not as healthy as they used to be, and they are, in fact, a big piece of what's responsible for keeping the corals in good shape. They literally, you know, there's a quarter of all marine organisms have life going on in a coral reef, even though the coral reefs themselves aren't even 1% of the stuff in the ocean. It's just that they're that attractive and that important to the ecosystem. So interestingly enough, the size of coral reefs, size of coral patches has shrunk. We've all, I hope, had the wonderful opportunity to see the projects going on in Florida, University of Florida, and their marine sciences organization that is attached to that has been doing some beautiful work of raising corals and then moving them out to try and replenish, trying to figure out which ones take which temperatures, which ones can take a little bit tougher conditions, all of those sorts of things. But in fact, this particular work has overlooked a profound part of keeping the coral reef, really keeping coral plant, those groups healthy, whether they're on a reef or whether they're in a patch. This is, in fact, our friends, the sea cucumbers. Now, what they worked on was to try and figure out why they were there. And once you look at why they're there, of course, turns out to be They're cleaning the area around the coral reefs, making room for the other marine organisms. But they have, in fact, been taken out. They have been literally removed. They've been over-harvested for decades, and they do not perform their job well when there's only a few of them. I'm not going to say they get depressed, but their effect is depressed. Scientists say their effect is depressed. Okay, so they don't like it when their buddies are all gone and they can't do their work as effectively. So removing this has had a cascading effect on the corals. So now that we've got to worry, now we're worried about everything else, we got to go back to worrying about basically who cleans the bathroom, okay? Who mops the floors? Who are the custodians of the coral, and that is our friends the sea cucumbers, and they need better attention from all of us. How about that? Yeah, isn't that a beautiful one? I love, love, love that the cycle of the blackberry. I can't remember where I saw this before, but I think it's so, so pretty. Just lovely. Ah, now, here's something I'm familiar with. Greg's in Vaughn. Greg has massive azaleas. These azaleas are bigger than my car, okay? Usually they're covered in blooms. They didn't make it. And, of course, last summer, he says he watered last summer, but no matter how much you watered, it's pretty hard to water enough to get a plant this large through that particular 100 degrees and plus weather, and then 3-4 months of drought that we had in the fall. I'm saying this is a case where you're going to do something more radical than you would ordinarily do. I'm going to say take them down by at least a third, maybe a half, and then fertilize, water, put a blanket of compost underneath them, and then put on some azalea camellia fertilizer. See if we can get them to grow back. Yeah, you got to keep watering them too. And it's going to be a struggle in some ways because they are big and they've lost a lot of their oomph. But even if you're cutting back a stem and it's only got a few leaves on it or has no leaves on some of them, they're still going to sprout and grow. As long as you can do that thumbnail test and find that there's green underneath the bark, they're going to come on out and grow. But this is a case for major rejuvenation pruning, and that is to take down a third to one half of it, fertilize it, keep it watered this summer and mulched, and really that the half-inch layer of some kind of composted manure under the bottom will also help to acidify the soil around them, and we're just going to try to help them recover. It's not going to necessarily be easy. On the other hand, and somebody out there is saying, but you didn't tell them what you can do. Of course, this is the setting for the draped lights. If it's absolutely ruined as a shrub and you don't want to cut it down, drape the lights over it that are on the net and turn it into a feature instead of a bug. Not going to be permanent, and it isn't Christmas yet, but people do that, and I'm not going to tell you not to. I think it's delightful. Let me see. You're exactly right, Dwight. Isn't that fascinating? I'll get to that here in just a minute, but you're right. The deep sea coral reef, and we didn't know it was there under the Gulf Stream. I was reading about that this week. You know, I'm such a nut for coral. I for those of you who don't know me or haven't heard this program before, and welcome in. We're glad you decided to drive around and, you know, pick us up on your way to Mama's this weekend. I inherited some beautiful pieces of coral jewelry. They were my great-grandmother's, and then they were my grandmother's, and then they were my mother's, and now they're mine. And they were brought to my great-grandmother from the Orient, because the discussion of where they actually came from has always been a little bit iffy in my family. But it was from one of our members of our family who was a soldier who came back and brought her these pieces of jewelry. They're coral, and I have a tremendous guilt about the fact that this is coral jewelry. We shouldn't have done that. For all of us who grew up in a time when you went to the souvenir shop anywhere in Florida, there was actual coral. It wasn't the fake coral that you find now. It was actual coral that they had harvested because it was so beautiful. That's a shame. Now, we didn't do the pollution. We didn't do the ocean temperature change. We didn't do those things. But those of us who have coral need to have a certain understanding and of its heritage and appreciate it. So therefore, I keep up with what's going on with coral. I'm happy to celebrate growing new kinds in the Florida studies and also some that are going on in Hawaii. But I got to tell you, it's tough, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful jewelry that I treasure. And at the same time, it's very hard for me not to understand where it came from. There's a lot of stuff like that in this world. We have to find a way. All righty. Oh, this is a good one, Jamie from Oxford. I was just looking at a crepe myrtle yesterday, Jamie. I'm having the same question. Teach me something. He says, when do they start to bud and bloom? Everyone I have looks dead. Okay. I have a crepe myrtle in my front garden that I thought was dead. It is now leafed out. I cut it down. It's now leafed out. It's going to be a shrub. I have another one in the back that I ignored entirely, and it does look dead, but it's not. I went and did the scrape test with my thumbnail on the bark out at the tip. It's green about an inch and a half from the very tip of the stem. So that's what you need to do to see whether or not they're alive. Excuse me. And if they are alive and they haven't leafed out yet, it's just time. They'll come on along and get going. But if you see that all of yours and they're all one variety and none of them are alive, that's a different story. But you don't know until you go and scratch under the bark. If you scratch under the bark at the tip and it's dark under there and it's not, you know, not green, move back a little bit further because it may, that will indicate to you where you need to prune to encourage this. See, when we prune, what we're doing is sending off a signal to the plant that the buds underneath that, along the stem, along the growing area, or perhaps from the crown in the case of perennials and things, they better get busy. There's work to be done, and there's energy to be given to them because they no longer are trying to support that dead stuff at the top. So if your crepe myrtles have not leafed out yet, do the scratch test, prune them down to where you have some green underneath that bark, and just be patient. And I'm hopeful that we're not going to lose too many. But again, depends on the variety, depends on the placement, and it really depends on the conditions. We had some spaces that had a whole lot more drought than others, but everybody was in a drought last fall. Last summer, we had some places that were hotter than others, but everybody had record heat pretty much. So those things together create a difficult situation. Paula, this is great. Oh, that's wonderful. Patiently waiting on the hummingbirds. I am too. I've only seen two in my yard. I think they were some that stick around all the time. But they have pretty much drained the feeder, and so I did fill it back up. No, I think I need to do that. I've got some made up that I didn't get out there with yesterday. But that's really very cool. Very, very cool. I love that oak tree. That's wonderful. Just wonderful. She's right. There's a purpose for each and every creature, placed on this lovely planet, from the dark depths of the ocean to the highest mountains. She's right. This is beautiful. Really lovely. And what a cute dog, too. And a cute dog, too. I have a lump of a dog at my house. When she's happy, you don't even know she's there until you practically step on her because she's under your chair where you're sitting. She's very good at that. Fun stuff. It's nice to have pets around, though, isn't it? It gives us the opportunity to do things a little bit differently than we would have done before. And that of course, is... Oh, this is a good question. This came on the text line to me. Who is Floydine and why is the farm named after her? Well, Floydine is a cat, and so that's why the farm is named Floydine's Fowlhour Farm, and I will be there next Saturday from 1 to 3. Before that, right after the program, we'll be at Doris Berry's, the produce stand in Pearl, me and Mark, you know, we'll have us a good time. We're going to go up to the country, but right now we're going to get in the elevator and go to the absolute apartment in the sky. All right now? Y'all stick around. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues. You and me, baby, there ain't nothing wrong with that. For we're moving on up, moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie.
It's prom season. From promposals to finding the perfect dress and choosing a stylish tux, teens all across our state are making big plans. That's why the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services and the Mississippi Highway Patrol are reminding students to have a safe and memorable prom by making smart choices behind the wheel. Don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, and do buckle up. Your school, family, and friends want you to please return on Monday in the same condition you left. Your choices today impact your tomorrow.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.com.
sort of fell into a Jerry Garcia thing today. Before we get out of here now, he'll be pulling out the Jerry Garcia band. He'll be pulling out some of that other stuff.
I got plenty of it.
I can't help it. I like all that music. Little bit West Coast. Not a lot, but a little bit West Coast. Really good question. Andy says, black blight on crepe myrtle, cut it down? Well, here's how to decide. If it is a if it's black mold and it's on the bark and it's on the leaves and you cannot scrape it off with your thumb, it's probably crepe myrtle bark scale. You have to either decide that this tree is worth saving, and I mean some putting some dollars into it and some time to treat it, or it's not. If it's on the side yard of your house and it was creating too much shade anyway, I'm going to say let it go. On the other hand, if it's in the front yard and it's part of the integral part of the landscape, you might want to try and work on it at least for a year or so. The kind that comes off under your thumb, of course, is just the simple stuff. You might have aphids or white flies or any number of things up in the canopy of the tree. When they put their noses into the leaf and suck the life out of it, what they cannot digest, they excrete. And what they excrete is actually a sugary substance that black mold then floats through the air and grows in. Yes, black mold is in the air all the time. Sorry to have to tell you that. But if you can cake it off with your thumb, that's what that is. And if it's primarily on the leaves, that's what that is. But when it gets into the bark, it's crepe myrtle bark scale. And especially at this time of year, I've seen a couple of spots already in my neighborhood where you can see the white coming out, which is the indication that you've really got a bigger problem. Those are things that have to be treated with systemic insecticides and a lot of pruning and take time to recover from. So it's up to you whether you want to do that. But those are my thoughts about it. It's those two different choices. Fast-growing trees, Paul and Brandon, is asking me what are mine. I tend to be a deciduous tree person, particularly if I'm wanting to fill a space with a tree that will grow quickly. I love Vitex, that's Chase Tree. You might know that one. I also like Fringe Tree is another really pretty quick one. You can plant a tree that's 3 feet tall and in just a very few years have a tree that you'll recognize as a tree. But on the other hand, plum trees and peach trees, for goodness sakes, fig trees, all those things grow pretty quickly. If you're looking for something more in the classic landscape department, look at poplars, look at green poplars, those grow pretty quickly. And there are other things that grow quickly, but it really does depend on what you feel like is quick enough. For example, if you buy a 4 foot tall crepe myrtle and plant it this year, it won't be 2 years before it's a fully developed tree. It won't be as tall as it's going to get, but it will certainly have its canopy established and side branching and all those things you do in that first couple of years. So those are my suggestions. I would, let's see, you're in Brandon. Certainly, there's a bunch of places you can literally see where they've done public plantings. And you'll notice that very few of those are oak trees because of the need for them to grow a little bit more quickly. So you might like that. Kind of depends on how big you want it to be, too. But those are some ways to, the criteria that I look at. How soon will it have a developed canopy? How soon will I have fruit or flowers if I'm going for that? And how thick will it be after 5 years in terms of the girth of the tree? So those are the criteria, really, for selecting that sort of tree. Whether it's sun or shade makes a difference and some of the other issues. But that's really the way to make your picks, so to speak. I'm going to tell you also that I like a tree that a lot of people don't like. I like Japanese yews. I realize they're not popular. And a lot of people think that their leaves are too fine textured and stuff, but I'm really crazy about them. Oh, I have another project I need to be doing that I probably won't, but you should. Gladiolas that we planted last year have by now come up, and around them you will find lots, in some cases scores, of teeny tiny grassy-looking seedlings coming up from there or proliferations from their bulbs or they're corms, actually, but they do bulblets, and they also can make seedlings. So take those and transplant them out. You'll be glad you did because you will have a whole lot more flowers if you move those things around in the space where your gladiolas did well last year. Just fill in the rest of that space with some more of them. It's also time to plant them weekly. In anywhere you're listening to me, you can be. You could have been doing it sooner. You could wait a while to do it. But right now is a perfect time to be planting gladiolas weekly, especially if you have the shorter stemmed ones, because they're going to be absolutely beautiful in maybe 6 weeks. And that's easy enough. Don't forget, we are really, really having a wonderful time this year. This spring has already proved to be pretty good. But next Saturday is going to be a blast. I will be going with my buddy Mark to yak it up with y'all at Dorisbury Farmers Market in Pearl. We'll be there from 10:30 to 12, and then from 1 to 3, we'll be in Carthage on Highway 35 at Floydine's Flower Farm. I love to say that. Floydine's Flower Farm. So y'all come and join me there. Hey, Joe, happy Easter to you, too. What are your three favorite determinant tomatoes and three favorite cherry tomatoes? Well, that's kind of easy because I only have one favorite determinant, and that is Celebrity. It outperforms the others that I have grown that are determinant. If you've not grown tomatoes before, you might not know that determinant means it isn't going to get to be 8 feet tall. It's going to stop at a determined point and then just get bushier. And Celebrity does that very beautifully. In fact, the one that I have at my house is growing delightfully. In terms of cherry tomatoes, though, I have several choices. I'm hugely fond of Sun Sugar, which is kind of orange and very, very sweet. I really very much like Sweet 1000s or Sweet 1 millions, you know, whichever ones those are, because they are a huge plant, but they produce all summer. They don't care about the heat. They don't care about anything. As long as you keep watering that plant, you will continue to have cherry tomatoes on it. And then the third cherry tomato that I really like a whole lot is black currant. It's a dark cherry, and it's probably my favorite of the whole bunch. In terms of the other tomatoes, I'm growing Cherokee Purple, which is not determinant, but it is another one that I really like the taste of. But Celebrity for determinant tomatoes is, to me, that's the best one. If you have another one to suggest, by all means, I'd be happy to add it to my list and give it a try. But yeah, I love that. 8 squirrels. What? Yeah, I'll tell you what. The squirrels were busy in my back garden. They got mad at me. I was out doing something in the space where they thought they were going to be left alone for a while, but that didn't happen. I'm a distractor. Yes, I have cats. Yes, I walk dogs. Yes, I have friends who walk their dogs in my back garden. So the squirrels are pretty much kept up in the trees. But they were down trying to get into something, and I just couldn't let that happen. So they got mad at me. They got very mad at me. Oh, my goodness. We talked about mowing your lawn so that we can encourage some of the flowers that are there to continue without encouraging the ones that are not such great flowers. And that's probably about as much as you need to think about that. There are so many other bits and pieces of the puzzle. Let's see. Oh, Ron's in Sumrall. Welcome in, Ron. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Just great, thank you.
I have a little project I want to work on. Last year, I accidentally ended up with some really wonderful watermelons after being recycled through two hogs and on the outside of the hog pen, and I've decided to plant some watermelons this year. And about 2 weeks ago, at the local garden center, I bought like 5 plants and put them in the ground, but this cold has affected them, and I'm just wondering, did I plant too soon, or, you know, what should I look for doing this?
Okay, you may have, and that's okay because you still got another little bit of time to do that, but I think you did right. I think they're probably more rooted than they seem to be because they did get into a slightly cooler soil than they would like. If it's going to be, and I doubt it will, but if it's going to be 40 degrees again in Sumrall, I would probably cover them up with something just for that night, but I don't think it's going to be that cold again in Sumrall. So I think all you need to do at this point is put some mulch around them and make sure that you've got a water, you've got a way to water them all the time. You know, Like pumpkins, watermelons right. need to put on lots and lots of iron. So what I've found right. successful is to take a gallon milk jug, poke holes in the bottom of it, and put it, bury it about halfway in next to the watermelons. Then you just keep it full of water. Keep it full of yeah. water and fertilizer, and you can use the tap of the cap rather of the gallon jug so that you don't get bugs in there. But you'll if you just keep right. that full of water and fertilizer, they'll have everything that they need slowly delivered to them over the whole summer. And if you just keep that up, generally speaking, that's they're going to grow because they the thing that they lack more than anything else is water and fertilizer.
What fertilizer should I use?
Whatever you like, something soluble. 20-20-20 is okay, or 5-10-5. It doesn't. It's more important that there's some fertilizer in there. But I understand. I don't want to overfeed with nitrogen, so some kind of vegetable formula that is liquid that can be put into a liquid.
Well, what I did was I picked an area. I've got a pretty large chicken run. And I picked an area about 5 feet outside the chicken run, and the water usually runs that way. And I was anticipating, you know,
that's great.
Getting fertilizer and nutrients off of that. Is
you
that
will.
Too much? Or
no, you'll have that. Just make sure that when you put some into that reservoir that you're setting up, it's something with a very low first number because you're going to have plenty of nitrogen. I don't want you to have watermelon leaves bigger than my head. You know what I mean? Because we can do that, but we don't need to. We need them to be, about a foot across, a foot across. But if you will give them something like a 5-20-20 or 5-10-10 or something in that formula, which you won't have any problem, get that at the garden center, you'll be in better shape.
Right.
Okay? I love it. I can't wait to hear
about
it.
Mm-hmm. I had two choices, Sugar Babies and I think Starbright.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer?
I've not grown Starbright, but I sure have grown some Sugar Babies. So I'm so crazy, I'd probably try both of them.
Well, that's what I did. I bought three of each.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Good, good. I look forward to seeing the pictures of the watermelon patch.
Super. Thank you for talking to me.
Thanks, Ron. Talk to you soon. Bye now. That's really fun. You know, watermelons are one of those things, when you get started wanting to grow them, you just really, 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 really are enthusiastic about it. And if you've never had an opportunity to have watermelons from our own, grown right here in Mississippi, you've missed something. So just pay attention. And by the way, those yellow meat watermelons, July. I'm ready. We're not here yet, but I'll be ready. Oh, my goodness, that's fun. I have several different ideas of what to do about this cicada business. And there's not anything actually we can do about it. But I do think that, like many other things, I heard this a long time ago and didn't realize how important it was, I don't think. But when you take a kid somewhere and they've never done that before, it's real helpful to give them some idea of what's about to happen. Surprise, you understand, can be good or not so good. And in the case of the cicadas, better that a little bitty kid has heard that noise before rather than that they wake up one morning and think that they've lost their mind. So there are a lot of things like that. If you can just show them a little bit of the sound, you're going to hear this really soon, recognize this. It's like the first time you ever see a firefly. Or if you haven't seen one in years, you sort of think you're not really seeing it because that's so foreign and so different. Give yourself a chance. It's going to be a good year for them, too. I don't know enough about fish. It's absolutely true. I know about fish fertilizer, and I know about cooking fish, and I know that my grandfather tried mightily to get me to be a fisherman, but I don't think I was patient enough. So now at this point, when I learn something about fish, I feel like, well, why didn't I know that before? Well, I didn't know this before because no one knew it before. Striped marlin are some of the fastest animals on the planet. How's that for a statement? And indeed, one of the ocean's top predators. I did not know this. When hunting in groups, individual marlin will take turns attacking the prey one at a time, but they also coordinate this by changing colors. That's right. They're winking and blinking and blushing, and we didn't even know it. I bet the people, I bet the fish they're preying on wish they knew it. They could put up signals or something, give somebody to help them survive. I don't know, man. That's kind of exciting. Striped marlins change colors. Crazy world we live in. We'll be right back.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.
For those of you who don't know how to do the two-step, I suggest that you learn. It's a great dance for the springtime, and why not, huh? Really interesting stuff going on today. Y'all ask the best questions. This has been super-duper fun already. I know there's always more stuff happening. and I don't know how to tell you this, but coming up this week, it's crossword puzzle week for everyone. So for those of you who, like me, are stuck on Wordle and stuck on connections and all these other things, we have finally reached our week of the year. It's crossword puzzle week. I love that. So fun. Anyway, have you ever had this question with yourself? You think, how does that tree get pollinated? You see the 100 seedlings coming up around the tree that you know you got to do something about, or you're trying to just get one and you can't seem to make it survive. Research recently tells us that our friends, the fragrant screw pines, which are, by the way, are some of the most luxuriously odoriferous trees you'll ever run into, that we've always thought they were pollinated by wind. Other pine trees tend to be pollinated by wind, and that's how we've kind of, it makes sense. You can watch it, you can track it, you can see it. Well, the University of Tokyo sometimes does research that we wish they wouldn't do because they tell us things that we wish we didn't have to know. Now, in this case, the sap beetles are the ones doing the pollinating. Now, this is a very iffy situation. It would be as if we were to find out that the pine beetles that we have here were the only thing that could possibly pollinate this plant. I like the idea that the wind pollinates them. Thank you very much. Why else does all that stuff fall out of the pine tree onto my car and my nose and my clothes and everything else? Well, the genus Pandanus, of course, has 450 species. I know this because I had to learn it as a kid for some reason or another, and I think we probably learned 400 back then. There's been at least 50 more discovered. They have male inflorescences, which are clusters of flowers on the branches. They are both pendant, which means they hang down, and they are nectarless. Now, what that has led the scientists to presume is that, like other pandanus, this particular one, in this case, has also been pollinated by wind. However, some of the other properties, for example, the floral scent and the fact that the female flowers mature while the bracts, or the specialized leaves, are still present, makes that not make any sense. It shouldn't just be the wind that would pollinate this. To clarify it all, they decided to investigate the species. This is the subtropical pines, much like ours here. And what they did was, I love pandanus, odorifera. And what they did was to work on this. They found out that the screw pines, male and female flowers, both produce heat at night with great stability. And that is not something that is common in this particular thing. So therefore, that's what is attractive to the sap beetles. And just shows you that we got so much to learn. We always have so much to learn. Just incredible to me that we didn't know all that already. But we didn't. So, guess what? Eggs may not be bad for your heart after all. I wanted to bring this to you today just because, well, this weekend we have a wonderful time dyeing eggs, whether you're using the natural colors that I've been showing you today, or whether you are a batik egger or another kind of egg art person. All of that's just magnificent and such fun to do and so beautiful to see for all of us. I don't care if you're up at midnight with the grandchildren, you know, I say that because that's what we used to do. We would literally be dyeing eggs half the night just because we had that many eggs and that much dye. But it doesn't really matter unless you're going to eat the eggs how you do this. Some people will eliminate, you know, you do the little poke on the ends and get rid of the insides of the egg because you want this to be a permanent decoration. But if you're dyeing eggs for the children to find at the Easter egg hunt, or for a decoration for your table, or just because it's fun to do, how many egg recipes do you need? Some people don't think they need any because of the cholesterol issues. Well, the American College of Cardiology, that would be the heart people. It's not the American Heart Association. It's a place that teaches this stuff. We have had this issue for years now. Which ones are okay to eat? Are they okay to eat? And then suddenly everybody wants to have their own chickens during the pandemic. Well, nobody tests those eggs for cholesterol. So it goes directly to what the chickens eat and everything else. But the results now from a prospective controlled trial show that over a four-month period, cholesterol levels were similar among those people who ate the fortified eggs compared with those who didn't eat eggs at all. In other words, the ones that are fortified to not raise your cholesterol. So more than almost 150 patients with or at high risk for cardiovascular disease were involved in this trial. And what they ate 12 eggs a week. Can you imagine? That's a lot of eggs, my friends. Now, I realize they cook them in some things and others they ate, but that's a lot. I don't eat that much anyway.
I eat like a 6-egg omelet pretty regular.
Yeah.
Not 12. It takes 2 sittings.
I was going to say, that's today and tomorrow, right? If we're going to do that. Oh, yes, indeed. Now, this goes right directly to everybody's different. Everybody has. I can eat an egg today. Probably won't want another one for 3 or 4 days, maybe a week, maybe longer. I got a friend that, as we speak right this minute, is making deviled eggs for Easter lunch tomorrow, and they will not be from dyed eggs. But if you've got all those dyed eggs, don't leave them out in the yard. Come on, y'all. That's not good. It's a waste of food for you, for one thing. It ends up feeding other things that don't need to eat those particular eggs with the dye on them and everything else. But it's also a waste. So whether you're doing egg salad whether you're egg salad or deviled eggs or chopped eggs or whatever it is you're doing with them, put them to work because they may not be as bad as we thought. It's a small study, but the Durham, North Carolina Duke Clinical Research folks are telling us, it reassures us that it's okay with regard to lipid effects, even among a more high-risk population. So something to think about. It will at least let you maybe not worry so much about it this weekend. I realize that last week's high point may have been any number of the funny things that came across the desk. But this week, the best one I'm thinking is the UK rabbit owners. What I want to know is how this happened. Oh, my goodness. Rabbit owners in the UK can recognize the pain that their pets are feeling. Think about that for a moment. Of course you recognize if your cat, your dog, your pet, your rabbit, your iguana, whatever it is clearly injured or sick or whatever. I mean, you know, you see those things. But just in terms of intuiting their pain, I got a problem with that. There are about 1.5 million pet rabbits in the United Kingdom. That's a lot more than I would have guessed. And it is important that owners can recognize when their animal is in pain, because the animal's not going to necessarily tell you or send you a text. Now, this has found that the majority of them could identify, majority of owners could identify pain-free rabbits and those in severe pain. But it's the middle ground that always gets you. Don't let that plant wilt too far, and by all means, don't let your rabbit get too sick. Have a happy Easter. Come back next week, because we'll be right here for the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If recent hail...
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.